Well, hello once again, people. Happy New Year. And on tonight's show, I thought I'd bring you a guy in that can get you out and about relatively inexpensively. Get the blood flowing. You know who you're listening to. And then we're going to look at SEO for your website. Please, if you're on iTunes, please subscribe and leave some comments and check me out at Dougie Stone on Twitter. Let's interact. Anyway, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. So, hey, we've just had Christmas. Just had all that festivity. And you've probably eaten one or two many mince pies. And like we all have, and drank a bit too much alcohol, but you might not be to drink alcohol, but you'll have drank stuff and eaten stuff over and above what you normally do. And you might be sat there now, a bit stir-crazy, in the house, thinking, I wish I could get out and do something, but I'm not sure where to go and what to do. So, my next guest is a guy who does something about it. That's what his business is all about. And this business, this show's about business dyslexia and adversity. So, welcome, Adam.
Welcome, thank you.
And it's Adam Redshaw. I keep calling him Renshaw because I'm dyslexic, but there you go. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm all good, thanks. Good. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Good Christmas?
Really good.
Yeah, excellent.
Really good.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we do it every year, don't we?
Yes.
So why I wanted you on the show, I mean, I want to talk about your business and about how you got to your business, but I think it's important because everyone's in this where we are now and people want to get out and do stuff, because you do geocaching, don't you?
Yeah, geocaching, GPS treasure hunting.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about that and what people can do. Let's talk about that first. Let's get out of the way.
Okay. Well, a few months back, there was some mad craze for Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where people would, you know, get their phones and they would go out and about, walking, exploring, trying to capture virtual reality creatures. Well, geocaching is very similar to that. It's been around since 2000, so it's a bit more established.
Yeah.
There are over, around 3 million things, physical things hidden all over the world.
Yeah, and they're called caches, aren't they?
Geocaches, yeah. And you use the app on a smartphone, which you can download a free app, and you go off and you go and find all these hidden containers. It could be in a nice woodland walk, it could be alongside the canal, it could be through fields. It just really is a good way to get out and about walking. You're still using the technology, but you actually go and find physical containers, and it's the places that you find along the way.
Yeah, because I think for me, because I've done it a couple of times, I've been on one of your courses, because you do courses on it as well, and I took my lad, and my lad loved it, and we were in the War Memorial Park in Coventry.
Yes.
Obviously, if people are not in the UK, they won't know where that is, but anyway, it's basically a park, and there's these caches around the park that are out and about, and you showed us how to go and find it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and say, no matter where you are, you've got geocaches pretty much local to you. Here in sort of Leamington Spa, you've got all round Jefferson's Gardens, New Bolt Common. There's a load in Stratford along the banks of the Avon.
Yeah.
So around Coventry and Warwickshire, worldwide.
Yeah, I was just going to say that because the listeners I've got on the radio show and the podcast. I mean, I've got listeners in Cyprus, United States, Canada, Holland, Ireland. So they're all over, and so that is really good because this thing. Geocaching.
It's worldwide.
It's worldwide. So that is really interesting. So people who are listening can actually go and do it. And I advise you, get out, because it's like we said before, it'll be a bit stir-crazy after, like we all are just after Christmas. And it's good to get out and about, get some fresh air.
Yeah.
Because what was you talking about before, that deficiency thing?
Nature deficit disorder. There's a guy called Richard Lauve, who's an American guy, who wrote a book, Last Child in the Woods. And it was about people that aren't out and about anymore engaging with nature. You know, years ago, if you were talking about somebody, directions and how you navigate, it would be, well, go down the road, at the T-junction, turn left. When you get to the post office, turn right. When you see the pub, turn left. Now, everybody's looking at their screens. They've lost that sense of direction, that sense of navigation. As a kid, I used to go out and play in the woods. No mobile phones, no my way back. But I would remember, hang on, that's that really gnarly tree. So here I need to bear right on the footpath. Yeah. And you find your navigation and your sense of direction. The same as playing outside, you start climbing trees, and then you realise about the laws of gravity and how a thin branch won't support your weight.
Yeah,
and you know,
especially if you've had too many breakfasts.
Yeah, or you've eaten too much Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
So you learn about self-assessing the risk when you're outside. You'll be out walking and you'll come across a little stream and you think, okay, I'm going to jump across that stream.
Yeah.
So you've got your understanding about distance, your understanding about how you're going to jump across, and you're going to understand that mud on the side of a stream is quite often slippy, and if you don't judge it right, you end up on the slippy mud and you fall in the stream.
Yeah.
And it's all those things that, by not playing outdoors, not engaging outdoors, you're missing out on all of that.
Yeah, because unfortunately, I don't think the world is any more dangerous than it's ever been before. You know, go back a few million years, it'd be a saber-toothed tiger would be killing you, wouldn't it? So, but the dangers are different, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just
sorry for throwing that random thing in there, but that's how my brain works.
Yes.
But I think we've lost a lot of that, what you were just describing, in children, and it's not preparing them for life, it's not preparing them for business, and also business. We're not absorbing what's around us, are we?
Yeah.
And in nature.
Yeah, as a kid growing up, it would be, right, go out and play, don't come back till tea time.
Yeah, come back when it's dark.
Yeah, no mobile phones.
Oh, I can't go out, I've got no data left, Dad.
Yeah.
Get out! Here's a geocaching mag.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that's the thing, is there a geocaching mag?
Yeah, when I got into geocaching, I went to the well-known news agent on the high street to go and buy a magazine about geocaching.
Smith.
Well, yeah, other news agents are available.
Yeah. Not with your magazine in.
Well, this is true, yet. So I went to get a magazine about geocaching. You can get 38 magazines about model railways, 52 magazines about cycling, and there were no magazines about geocaching.
I think it's pretty sad you know those numbers.
Well, it's research.
Yeah, but you read a valid point. So this is good because this leads us on to the business bit. So this is how you got into your business. This is how your business formed, is it? Yeah.
So because there wasn't a magazine available, I tried to teach myself how to do a magazine. And the first few years, it was a very poor magazine, very flimsy quality. The grammar, the spelling in it was probably not very good. I think I probably have a form of dyslexia, which is only through having conversations with you, I'm thinking actually, maybe that explains a lot.
Definitely, yeah.
So now through networking, I've reinforced what I do as the geocaching guy. So it's not just saying I have a magazine. I talk to people about geocaching, how they can get involved.
Yeah.
And I've come across some really good contacts, such as yourself and Karen, who I now get to do the design work on the magazine.
Karen's actually just come in, so we'll have a chat with her in a second. But she didn't even know, did she? She didn't know, but she's going to be on the show in a minute. I think it's quite important, before we move on to have a quick chat with Karen, and this is what I want to try and get to people. You, a few years ago, had a passion that you had, wanted to do something, couldn't find any more information. So you've actually gone away and created your own thing, haven't you?
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really good. So there wasn't something out there, so you've gone and developed your own thing.
Yeah.
Which is now turned into your business and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, now you're seen as being the, I don't want to use the word expert, but let's use the word expert, in that field, the go-to guy for geocaching. So that's why you've been on things like the Gadget Show and the BBC and all the other things that you do, which is brilliant. Which is really good. So it's quite important when you're in the business to understand things that you're good at, things that you can outsource as you get busier, and things that other people can do who have got more of the expertise in that area. Because your bag is geocaching, treasure hunt, etc. Showing people what to do, not design and printing and producing the magazine that you produce, which is now W.H. Smith. But actually, the person sat with us here is that person, isn't she?
Yes.
Karen, welcome.
Hello, Kurt.
I know you didn't expect to be on the show, but you're now on the show.
Thank you very much.
You're not live on Facebook, but you're now on the radio show, so there you go. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
So give us a bit of what's your take on the geocaching and the magazine and things.
Well, when I first got involved with helping Adam with the magazine, I didn't even know what geocaching was.
Yeah.
And, my specialism is communications, visual communications. I also do a bit of article writing, and it helps perhaps if I can actually understand my client's business inside out, because then I can help them effectively communicate to their audience. And I had this image of geocachers being quite nerdy train spotter types. Apologies to all train spotters out there. My brother was a train spotter.
35 magazines is W.H. Smith, by the way.
Exactly. And when Adam approached me to have a look at helping him with this magazine, I thought, how the hell am I going to do this? I didn't know anything about geocaching. So I went along to an event that Adam had organised in the Memorial Park, which is my very, very first go at geocaching. And enjoyed it so much that I'm now doing it every weekend, just about. Everywhere I go, I'm on the app looking to see if there's a geocache nearby. It's addictive. It's a brilliant pastime. I've had some amazing days out. Adam and I recently spent a day in Camden Wedge in Coventry, which is a part of Coventry I didn't really know existed, and I'm born and bred in Coventry. So it's taking me out to places that I never knew existed. I'm getting back to nature. It's like Adam was explaining earlier about going out playing in the woods, being out all day playing, can't come back until it's dark because your parents just don't want to see you. It's not like that anymore. But now I feel as if I am going out to play, and I'm finding treasure. And you know, I'm nearly 200 geocaches in, and that's something a year ago I never thought was even possible.
Yeah,
because I didn't know anything about geocaching, and it's just a brilliant way of getting out, having a purpose to your walks. I've been talking to so many people about it at various events, networking events. These people are, you know, directors of big companies. They're from corporate worlds. They're now looking at having team building events built around geocaching.
Brilliant.
Because to them it sounds so fascinating, and it is a brilliant hobby.
And it's different, isn't it? It's different, something new. And it's not, and like you say, you can do it anywhere, can't you?
Yeah.
So if you've got someone in Aberdeen or wherever who wants to run a team building course, you can find the, you'll know where the caches are, and you can go and set one up and do it for them. I think that's really interesting.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a look on the app, there'll be a cache nearby.
Yeah, it's
they're
cool.
Like racks.
Cool. So he might as well have a plug for your business. What's your business called, Karen?
Well, my business is called Karen Blake Design.
Yeah.
So obviously that's me. That's my name is Karen Blake, and I'm a designer. I'm a visual communicator and a brand development expert as well. So I'm helping my clients develop their brands, which is exactly what I'm doing with Adam.
Yeah.
Helping him develop the geocaching guy, and obviously UK Cache Mag tied in with that as a separate brand. And just helping Adam get out there a little bit more.
Brilliant. Yeah, because it's important. I mean, those skills are important. I mean, I know you've done a few bits for, that's how we know it's you. You've done a few designs and a few all our other stuff, marketing for me. So I think it's key, because I've got none of those skills. But having said that, even if I had, it's taking me time away from doing what I need to do and what I'm passionate about. So let the experts do it. So great.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, if you're struggling to make yourself look good, you just speak to somebody like me who is not you, basically, but gets to understand you. I try and get to understand you.
Definitely. And you see a different thing, because I've had, like, even my logo, I've got someone else to do my logo and me, you know, things like that, my jingle for my show. They know what they're doing, and you say, I'm not really sure what I want, but this is a sort of some of my thoughts. And they go away and create something that's really good. So it's well worth the money, and it's... I think people should put a bigger value on it, and I know you've worked for some big brands as well, so that's good. So brilliant. Brilliant. Back great to be on the show.
Yeah.
So what else are we going to talk about the geocaching then? And what do you advise people? What do people need to do right now if they're sat home going, oh, kids are driving me up the wall, running all over the place?
First of all, download an app. If you just type geocaching in the search engine, whichever app store you use, be it Apple, iTunes or on the Google Play, just type in geocaching, a number of apps will come up. There's some free ones and there are some ones that you can pay for. Just start with the free one. If you enjoy it, upgrade. Look at the geocaching, it'll give you a difficulty and a terrain rating.
Yeah.
So, you know, difficulty 1-1.
Yeah.
Somebody in a wheelchair could go and find something that's on the other end of the scale. You might need scuba diving equipment, abseiling, rock climbing, canoeing.
Wow, yeah, getting a bit extreme now.
Yeah.
I mean, Karen's here now. This is how good she is. She's got the phone up now. You won't be able to see it because obviously it's audio. But we're in Stratford at the minute, and that's a local area.
Yeah, you'll get a blue dot telling you where you are, and then you'll have a series of loads, dots surrounding you, telling you where all the caches are.
So there's probably within a mile of where we are here.
This one, this particular one, is 200 metres away.
Oh, there's one 200 metres away. Cool. And you've probably had a lot of them, haven't you?
I've had a few of the ones in Stratford over the years,
So is there different types of caches then? Because what's a cache? Because I didn't know. When I've done it, I was like, what is it? You know, what is this cache that I'm looking for? I have no idea. Because it's a bit of a like a mystery, isn't it? It's treasure, so it's a mystery. So what is a cache? What does it look like?
It's a physical container of some sort. It could be the size of your little fingernail, something small and magnetic, maybe on the back of a road sign underneath a bench, or it could be a larger sort of Tupperware lunchbox in a hollow tree. And the larger ones quite often have bits of swag in them, so low-value items, treasure, key rings, pencils, crayons, that sort of thing. You can come along, you take something, and you leave something of equal value.
Right.
So for me, the treasure is in the experience and the locations that I find, not the actual content and the actual container itself.
I think that's a good metaphor for life and business, isn't it? It's the end goal, whatever it is, the pot of goal, if you've got a business, that is not potentially the reason, the rationale for it, are you? It's the journey and the experience along the way.
It's the excitement.
When you find
that cash and you can tick it off your list, there's so much pleasure in doing that.
And it's better than just a ramble. I mean, I like walking. I've got a dog and everything, and walking. But it gives a walk a bit of a purpose, doesn't it? So I think it's excellent. So have you got much planned for next year, or are you just carrying on doing what you're doing? What about aerial stuff and things like that?
Yeah, I've got a YouTube channel, which many people have now. And, you know, all over social media, you see video is the way forward. And so many people are doing videos off their mobile phones. I thought I want to do something different. So I've just invested in a drone. So I'm learning how to pilot that safely and properly and get some nice smooth video footage. So it's a really interesting location is when I'm out walking and exploring and sharing all of that back onto Facebook and YouTube and other social media.
And I think that'll be good this isn't just me thinking out loud, from a couple of aspects. One, for people that want to go and understand what you're doing and where it is you are, and thinking that's really good. And also for people that actually can't physically, for one reason or another, can't actually be in the locations you're going to be, whether it's their ability to get out or they're in another country and they go, wow, look what they're doing over there. I think it's really good, especially if you're getting the aerial shots. And I've seen a couple of little clips to do when you've been doing your test flights, and I think that's going to be really interesting next year to see some of that footage.
I'm going to go on a course to learn how to do it all properly and make sure I'm following all the correct civil aviation laws. I've already flown it into a tree.
Yeah. Well, I knew that. I didn't want to say. but that's like everything, and it's like business, about life. It's about you learn from your mistakes, go and get the right training. And we're talking about geocaching, but try and bring it back to a business connotation. Is, you know, you will make mistakes. The people that are putting video up now, Steven Spielberg is an example, of a well-known director, didn't just wake up one day and start producing amazing movies, did he? You know, there'll be a lot of things that have gone wrong along the way to get to the point where he is now.
Yeah, and you have to hit a lot of trees.
Yeah, you do. And so you've kissed a lot of frogs if you're looking for a relationship and all that. And we've all been there. Anyway, that's brilliant. I think that'll get people going. Hopefully.
Thank you.
And we'll see people around the country. So where do people find you then, Adam?
www.ukcachemag.com.
Yeah,
that's the magazine. There's some links there about what I do and who I am. Or just go into.
W.H. Smith. There's no problem here.
We were so proud every time we saw that magazine on the shelf in W.H. Smith.
Well, having known Adam, I'm proud to know Adam that it's in there, and I think it's and he underplays it too much, I think, in the past, and he needs to shout about it a bit more, because that is a massive achievement to get your name into a big retailer like that.
Also, making a career out of your passion.
Correct.
Not many people have the confidence to do that, and it's very hard sometimes to get yourself going.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud of Adam for doing this, because he has made a business out of his hobby.
And it's a good example, and that's what I'm trying to good one to finish on. That's what I'm trying to achieve from this show, is to say to people, yes, your child's dyslexic or you're dyslexic, then get them to a certain level and then find out what they're really passionate about, what they really enjoy, and get them to do that, get them to put their energy in it, because you know what? You could you could be putting a magazine of whatever it is into WH Smith, you could be doing something online, whatever. So people get too het up about they have to be like this, you have to be a certain way. So I say, be yourself, do what you're passionate about, and the world will be a better place if more people did it. Mm-hmm. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for both of you.
Inviting
you.
Us in.
And I'll speak to you soon. Hopefully in a wood somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. See you later. Right. So Adam's got all fired up to get out and about in the new year. And if, like me, you've got a business and you've got a website, then you need to make sure your website's up and running, go to the right people that know what they're talking about. So my next guest knows all about SEO and sorting your website out. Hello, Con.
Hello. I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, what are you on the show? Because I saw you doing a video the other day on Facebook about SEO, and it seemed as a bit of a black magic. I know, it's great, isn't it? So that's why I wanted you on the show, mate, because I think you know what you're talking about, and I think it'll help the listeners out there get ready for 2017. So why don't you take it away for us, buddy?
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Kirk. I really appreciate you having me over. It's brilliant. Yes, I mean, I do shoot these little videos just to give people a bit of idea how to make sure that actually their SEO, which is search engine optimization, working for them. So, you know, in a couple of words, everyone knows what SEO is, but just to reiterate, it's about making sure that your website and your presence is being visible in Google or in any search engine you might sort of think of. So whether it's Google, Yahoo, Bing, or whatever, you just do it. So a lot of people take it as a game, but I think that's not a good approach. The best approach is to treat it as a marketing strategy. These days, there is a lot of SEO trends out there. But the three ones, which I'm going to touch upon in the next couple of minutes, are the ones which are going to define SEO in 2017. So yes, as I mentioned, first and foremost, SEO should be treated as a marketing tool. So when you think about your search engine optimization, just think about it in the context of content marketing and social sharing. So essentially, just create value. Create value in your content. The content is very important these days. I mean, it's been said that that technical SEO is a dying kind of discipline. But I'm going to obviously touch upon that when we've got more time. You know, it's such a minefield. We won't be able to do it properly now. But technical SEO is one thing. But what we digital marketers trying to focus on more is content marketing and social sharing. So, yeah, go out shooting these videos. Go out, get some great topics for blogs. Keep blogging. Make stuff interesting, useful, and full of value for the for your audience. And for you business owner out there, well, you know your business inside out, so you should know your audience inside out. And just let them know. Just let them know what you do. Let them know how to make the most out of it, and keep it sharing. But by sharing, I don't mean just sort of spam the crap out of it on Facebook. I mean, a lot of people will tell you, you know, you should post it on Facebook. It's not just about that. It's about creating an engagement, and it's about making people interested in what you say. But then again, engagement works both ways, and the social sharing should work both ways as well. So when people get interested in your stuff, you just get into interaction with them. And that way, you're going to bring some more people to your content, and then you're going to bring more traffic to your website. And Google loves it. You know, Google really, really like when websites get some hits and get some interaction and get some good shares. So yeah, just create the content, spread it across your community quite, you know, organically. So just speak about it. Don't be too sort of, you know, too hell bent on making it, I don't know, blog of the month or whatever. Just be yourself and just make people recognize the value in what you do. Another thing, very important thing, is that Google loves secure sites. So another trend is that more and more websites will need to be moved to SSL. SSL is essentially just the encryption protocol, which makes your website and browsing more secure.
So, is that when you get the little padlock on the page?
That's when you get a little green padlock. And if you don't know whether you've got SSL or not, the easiest thing to do is to go to the website called whynopadlock.com. Just type in your web address, and it's going to tell you everything about your website that there is to tell in terms of security and SSL. And I would presume that a lot of business owners out there have got a WordPress website. So now, WordPress is also going to move a little bit closer towards SSL, and they will be requiring SSL very soon. So together with Google, they want to make sure that your website is secure for people who are going to visit it. And if you haven't got SSL in place right now, Google might penalize you for it. Well, not penalize you, but they won't really boost your website that much. They will.
So you won't appear when someone searches for you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So if you want to be found, or if you want to have a better chance to be found, SSL is the way forward. And last but not least, there is a question of personal branding. Now, first and foremost, who knows who Kirk Pickstone is? Pretty much everyone. But now, if we're going to ask what is the name of the company Kirk is running, not a lot of people would know, would they, really? Kirk, what do you think?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Con, that not everyone always knows the business name of a person.
Yeah, so your personal brand makes you really unique. And this is another great thing about SEO these days, because people do not search for specific searches. I mean, if anyone was looking for for podcasts, or anyone was looking for Radio Warwickshire, they would not necessarily sort of look for these searches. But if they associate you as Kirk Pickstone, they would search for you on Google. And that's what makes all the difference in the world of SEO. One of my great examples is our own Stephen Thomas from 4N. Everyone knows who Stephen Thomas is. Everyone knows that he is an author of Business Networking for Dummies and Instant Networking, but not everyone knows what the name of his company is. And that's exactly it. That's why he's making so many ripples, because when people search for him, they are not searching for his company, but they are searching for him. That makes sense?
Yeah, I get that, Con, because I put out this radio show, turn it into a podcast. I've got stuff on YouTube. I do Facebook videos. So if someone is actually searching for me, they will find them that digital footprint out there. So they will end up finding my website, they'll find my YouTube channel, whatever, by searching my name. So yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, precisely. So when you brand yourself properly, and when you build your unique content around you and around your persona and your personal branding, again, Google are going to reward you for it, and it's going to be relevant for people, or for your audience, and for the community you're trying to build.
Well, that's been really interesting, Con, and we'll probably have to get you on for a longer session. But this show's coming to an end, so we might have to start wrapping it up here. So if you can briefly just put those three topics in, you know, brief order, fire away, and people can jot them down.
Brief. The three things are, well, first and foremost, there is SEO in terms of content marketing and social sharing. So create content, share it, engage, and give value. Another thing is SSL. So make your website secure and Google will love you for it. And the third one is make sure that your personal branding stands out so Google can find you and it can suggest your website in searches to people who are looking for someone like you.
I love it. And where can people find you, Con? Because I might want help with this.
Well, people can find me on Facebook as Con Frankowski. They can also find me on the internet at www.moonflight.co.uk, or just search Moonflight SEO Google and you'll be able to find me. Anyway, you can just find me around few networking groups in the area, And if not, just search for me on the internet and I'll be there.
Thanks for being on the show, Connor. I really appreciate it. See you soon, mate.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me, Kirk. And I'm looking forward to actually having some more stuff with you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye. The Dougie Stone Show.